welcome back to Winged and Ready. I am sitting in the UBS studio on 6th Avenue and 51st Street in New York City with Monique Marshall, my new friend, my fellow Georgian. We're just two Georgia girls sitting in a studio in New York City.
Yes.
She is chief in charge and founder of Black to Business.
Yes.
Such a cool company. I've been doing a deep dive on everything that they do. It is so powerful, the content and coaching and programs that she's putting out there to help Black entrepreneurs start their business, remove all the curiosities. But I, Diane Johnston, financial advisor with UBS, am going to be quiet and let Monique introduce herself to us. Thank you for being here, Monique.
Thank you, Diane, so much. I'm excited to be here. And this is great to have this conversation with you and also to share my journey with Black to Business. And I'm so glad to have another Georgia gal on the podcast, to be on the podcast with.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't know if you knew I was from Georgia.
I did not.
I thought I was going to leave that as a little surprise.
I was thinking, you didn't tell me that before.
No.
Now I want to get into my question, but...
Go ahead.
What part of Georgia are you from?
Columbus.
Oh, wow. That's southern, too.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. How about when you first moved to New York and everyone asked you if you're going home to Atlanta?
Oh, I'm like, there are other places outside of Atlanta that are in Georgia. Okay, I get it. Yes.
What about you? Where in Georgia are you from?
I'm from a small town. It's called Ocilla, Georgia, about 4,000 people. And as you know, in the South, it's like everyone knows everyone. Small town, two traffic lights. The high school and middle school was together. It's very small town, family, close-knit community. And I love it for the peace and quiet, but there's absolutely nothing to do there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And surprising that you became an entrepreneur in New York City from a small town in Georgia. Yes. How did that happen?
Where do I start? So it happened, one, growing up in a small town. When I was growing up, I did not see entrepreneurs that looked like me outside of the hairstylist, the funeral home director, or the barbershop owner.
All small business owners.
Yeah. And honestly, Diane, I didn't even know that that was entrepreneurship. Because I used to work for, my mom was best friends with my beautician.
Okay.
And so I used to work at the hairdresser to get my hair done. So I was like, I was around the hair salon a lot. And I was thinking, this is what I want, this type of freedom. I did not know what it was. And for a lot of people I saw around me, it was go to school, get a job, work at the factory, work on the farm, all those things. And it wasn't until I graduated high school and I went to Howard University in D.C. Oh. So I had never visited D.C. That was my first time going to D.C. And I was like, I want to do something different and I have to get out of here.
How excited were you to get into Howard?
My mom wanted me to go to school in state. She was thinking that is too far. And that was my number one choice. And for me, I knew at an early age it was important for me to be around Black people who were doing really, really well. And so I did want to go to a historically Black institution. So that was really important for me. And my mom thought it was too far. But when I got the acceptance letter, it was like really waiting to the last minute. I was so excited. She was so excited. And then she was on board.
That's awesome.
So we went to D.C. The day they dropped me off was the day, you know, everyone gets dropped off. I never visited. And while there, it was just a lot of people surrounded by my peers who were doing amazing things, who came from similar backgrounds and were trying to do things within the community, but they didn't know how to start these things. Mm. And I went to business school, and in business school, I learned about entrepreneurship.
And so
that was kind of what started the ball rolling with Black to Business.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's like you recorded your own journey and awareness and decided to share it with everybody.
Yes, absolutely.
That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Build to share.
Yes.
High vibe right here. That's awesome.
Love it. Yeah.
And you are sharing with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
When you go on Black to Business's website, mm-hmm. it is clear that you have put out so much knowledge. I mean, I was learning a lot listening to your own podcast.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Was it scary when you started?
It was scary a little bit because I am an introvert And I, at the time when I started my podcast, it was 2016. And originally I started as a blog, and I was just curious about other people's success stories. So that's how it started, as a hobby. And from the blog, I went into podcasting because I felt like I don't love writing. Yeah. I can do it, but I don't love it. And then what's the next thing? So it was either podcasting or video. And I did not want to be on video. So podcasting was the only choice. And so I started just reaching out to people. Can you share your story? Can you share your journey to entrepreneurship? And that's kind of how I got started.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good start.
Yeah. Thanks.
Sharing the stories.
Yeah.
And again, to go back to what you started as being so powerful, I think a lot of people, women especially, know the statistics and how hard it is to get capital. And there's a common statistic that goes around that says it's less than 2% of females that get venture capital. So the VC world is skewed to not helping out women.
Right.
It's even smaller for Black entrepreneurs starting their businesses. At 1%. We're shattering that, right?
We're shattering that.
I love it. Tell us how.
Yeah. So I think one of the things that I really love about what we do at Black Tech Business is education is first. And I think that another thing is starting small, starting simple. Like, I started my podcast with less than $100 worth of equipment. So it's about being resourceful. If you have this vision for your business, just because you don't have capital doesn't mean that you're not going to start. So what are some other ways to be strategic, to be resourceful, to start? And so, as you mentioned, those statistics, for me, it's about how do we get people started? Because also statistically, 8 out of 10 Black businesses fail within the first 18 months. Wow. And it's due to capital. It's due to lack of exposure, a lot of things. So for me, it's about how do you educate people and make it simple so that they're not intimidated to start first. And so that's how we do it on the Black to Business podcast. That's how we do it on the platform. And it's about, how do we get more businesses out there? Because when Black businesses thrive, the whole economy thrives.
Right.
So that's really how we do it. And one of the things I also say about my journey is not knowing people who were entrepreneurs. For me, in the beginning, I was intimidated. I was thinking, I don't want to ask the wrong questions. Or how do I make sure that these questions that I'm asking are understood? Who understands me? And so I created what I wish would have existed for me. And it's about simplifying it and to get people to start and actually get some skin in the game.
That's amazing. You had said early on, too, talking about yourself being from a small town, not really seeing any entrepreneurs, not seeing anyone that was cut from the same cloth as you, and wanting to go to Howard to be around people that looked like you. And so you've really built a community of entrepreneurs. The pictures on your website are clear. I mean, there's one picture on the opening page that looks like there are like 50 people in the picture.
Yeah.
So you have gatherings too.
That gathering on that photo is actually one of our first events earlier we did with, when I was first starting with Google. And it was an educational event about how to do SEO on your website. So having organizations that understand the mission, understand the work that we are doing, and putting resources behind that is important. And I also think that it creates a space of community, and it also creates a safe space as well. So to have organizations like Google who supported that event, it was just a fun time.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And also, I should have opened up with this. You are series number two, or part two of a series, excuse me, for the Luminary UBS Fellow. So that's amazing.
Yes, I'm excited about this. This has been amazing. Just like organizations like UBS that are like partnering with Luminary as well to give resources to women entrepreneurs, I think that's important. And to be a part of this fellowship is really important for me because I get to meet amazing people like you. Yay. I also get to be on amazing podcasts like this one to amplify the work that we're doing. And there's so many other people that I'm inspired by inside of my community, outside of my community. And I learn so much from people. It's amazing.
It's really cool, though, that you've started something to share what you have learned along the way. Mm-hmm. But you've never once yet in the 10 minutes that we've been talking professed to be an expert or know everything and that you're continuing to grow and yes. to learn.
Yeah.
In a way that you share with others. Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I've always been like that. And the funny thing is, my friends, they'll tell me, they're like, I could just meet someone and they're like, I have a business idea. I'm like, okay, where are you at in that idea? And my wheels get to turning and they're like, you need to charge them. You need to ask them to, you know, set up a consultation. But this is like what I love to do. And as I mentioned, it started as a hobby for me. And that hobby has kind of like shifted into a business with Black to Business. And it's just naturally me.
Hey, I totally get that. 100%. I'm a financial advisor and I love talking about money. Mm-hmm. And I will, if anyone wants to ask me a question, I don't care if I'm watching a football game. I'm like, okay, tell me what's going on. Let's talk about it. You don't have to be my client.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's about making the world a better place.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. Certainly. Yeah.
Removing fear for people so that they can achieve a greater version of themselves or a better life that they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Certainly. I like that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So what is the most astounding moment that you've had in building Black to Business to date? Let's start with a couple. I want to go back on my question. What is the first roadblock that you had to break through?
What is the first roadblock? I think it was getting out of my own way, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah. And even when I talk about coming from a small town and all of these things, honestly, Diane, a lot of the things that I've went after, I've gotten. And so many times, and I know a lot of entrepreneurs can probably relate to this in their early days, is we opt out. We opt out ourselves. It's nothing telling us that we can't do it. Sometimes it's ourselves that's telling us this. So for me, it was learning how to get out of my own way. And remembering to have that childlike curiosity and also just not being afraid to go for it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes this journey amazing, is I'm learning every day how to get out of my own way. And so showing others through my own story is what probably I would say.
So you had to get a little bit of discipline around mindset.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly.
That negative self-talk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep. That is a big one.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
It takes a lot to get up and go for it every day.
Mm-hmm.
So things like this are evidence that it's possible. It's happening. And so this is what keeps me going.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. So roadblock was getting out of your own way. Mm-hmm. And what happened after you got out of your own way?
You know, I think we grew. Like the platform began to grow. It didn't just stay at a hobby. It became a business. And I think getting out of my own way was also learning to be consistent. So Black to Business Podcast was the first thing that I was consistent with in the business. And I'll tell you a funny story. So 2016 is when I started the podcast. And I started and stopped so many times. And I would record like 2 episodes and then I would stop. And for a while, I just stopped. And so it was people hitting us up like, can I be on the podcast? And I'm like, the podcast is not there. So, but what that did was it said, this is something that people want. And so I said, okay, if I come back, I'm going to come back consistently. And so what that looked like for me was showing up every week. And there would be days where I'm like, okay, I don't want to record, but I still had to keep that promise to myself. And also when I came back, it was 2021. I did not listen to anyone else's podcast that entire year. And then in 2022 was the year I was recognized by Apple, Spotify, Wondery Media. So I was like, I got this. So that was, that's what happened.
How many episodes do you have to date?
We have, today, as of today, is 218.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Thank you.
That's really incredible.
Thank you.
And that's a stick-to-itness.
Yeah, certainly, certainly.
Every week. amazing. It is hard to do a podcast. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of energy, too.
Yeah.
And the nerves.
Yeah.
Both of us, before I hit the record, we were both nervous.
Yes, we were. But it's like a conversation. I like this.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I like it, too. All right. So the podcast kept rolling. The mm-hmm. platform. Tell me a little bit more about the platform, Black to Business.
Mm-hmm. So what we focus on is simplifying the startup journey for early stage and first generation Black entrepreneurs. So being, of course, as I mentioned my story, I was also the first person in my family to start a business and just go full throttle with it. So that was what I created with Black to Business. How do we simplify this? And then how do we do it for those who are the first to do it? And so one of the things that we offer is we have an education. Of course, education is first. So that's through the podcast. It's very workshop style, step by step. And then in addition to that, we do digital resources. So maybe questions on how to start a business, courses, workshops, digital workshops. And in addition to that, we have free and affordable resources that help with business building. So we have toolkits that are focused on marketing your business, productivity in your business, managing your business. So there are different digital resources that we offer. And then in addition to that, we consult with different organizations, whether it be creating their own podcast or partnering with different schools to help youth create podcasts. Amazing. And tell their story. And then also helping organizations who are in those early stages with making their first hire, getting their systems in their business together. So those are some of the other systems and offerings that we have.
So really taking it from idea
mm-hmm.
to putting your first foot forward, taking yes. that first step.
Yeah.
Being a solopreneur.
Yes.
To being an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
To growing a business.
Yes. Yep.
That's astounding. And a lot of free resources.
Mm-hmm. A lot of free resources and affordable and premium.
Yeah. I was going to say, is it a subscription model?
So we are not currently at a subscription model. That is something that I have been thinking about, but currently it's not subscription.
Yeah. Because there are, you know, like 12-week courses.
Mm-hmm.
You look left and right, and they charge a lot of money.
Yes, they do. And it's also about what is going to be digestible for our consumer, because a lot of times people are in that space where they need help with this thing right now. So for us, it's about sometimes those bites. So we have a lot of bite-sized resources at the moment, but we are thinking about more long-term programming mm-hmm. and things like that.
I like the bite size.
Mm-hmm.
To be quite frank, looking around at some of the programs that are multi-week,
mm-hmm.
on the sarcastic side, as a fellow introvert, all my listeners have heard me say I'm an introvert 1,000 times. I'm like, okay, that would be a great way to procrastinate.
Exactly.
That would be a great way to go into analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
I'll just study myself to death.
Exactly. And it's, you have to get into, so it's forcing people to get into action. You got an idea? Okay, what do you do with that idea? You're struggling with getting customers? Okay, this is how you find customers. You don't know if you should do an LLC, corporation, or what? Go to the podcast. There's an episode on that. So it's like the things you said.
How are you structured?
LLC.
LLC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was there a decision tree around that?
It was not. It was doing some research and, okay, I got to get this legally solidified, and that's the first one, which a lot of businesses start with.
Right.
So, yeah.
The first step.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how did you form your LLC?
I went through a company.
Okay.
And, so I let the company do it. And that's another thing. I also teach my audience, you don't have to do everything. It's about, sometimes you have to outsource so that you can focus on the vision. So
I
for
agree.
Me, it was about letting another company do it.
I agree fully. And I think there are too many online resources that
mm-hmm.
could accidentally be a mistake
mm-hmm.
or not have it done right.
And right. Exactly.
When you're in a major metropolitan area,
mm-hmm.
usually there are a lot of professionals that will help you at just about the exact same rate that you pay to do it online.
Yeah, it's true. Convenience and not, I don't like to make too, I've gotten to this point where I don't like to make too many decisions that I don't have to make, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, you're smart with your time.
Yeah. How can I make the least amount of decisions?
Yeah, because
mm-hmm.
time is value.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, yeah.
Yeah, someone says the word time and I see value. So
exactly.
I get that 100%. Yeah. I'm sure most people listening do too. Mm-hmm. They're probably listening to this on the way to or from somewhere.
Like, yes. Yeah.
It's not exactly a meditation podcast.
It is not.
Well, winding us down, I guess, and to bring a little bit of Zen to mm-hmm. our listeners, what do you see? What's next for you?
What is next for me? That is great. I want to do more community. So more things, because I do know the importance and like being a part of fellowships, I get to experience what it is like to be a part of community. So I would like to create something for my community as well, the same, so that it's like you, once you have this idea, you're not left alone.
Yeah.
And you have that guidance, you have that mentor to help you, or you have those peers who are in business who understand your journey. And then it's also about offering more resources so that we can, so right now we don't offer anything that gives funding, but to eventually get into a space where we can.
Yeah. And I'm sure you have a bunch of connections that can help you do that after listening to episode 218.
yes.
So building community, mm-hmm. I mean, technically you started with community in mind. Mm-hmm. I think you seem a very community forward person, but mm-hmm. you want to take it in a direction where it sounds like you're, is it user? Is that the right way? Client? How mm-hmm. would you describe someone who comes to Black to Business?
I say we're family.
Family. Okay. Yeah. So a family member, uh-huh. they then become a part of a community that they build on their own. Mm-hmm. So it's really a ripple effect that you're looking for.
Yeah.
That stone thrown into the water.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Okay. I love that. Are you seeing a certain trend or theme in the types of businesses that people want to start?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, so one of the things I mentioned is we focus on early stage and first generation, but another thing that I'm finding is a lot of people, and also I encourage this, especially if you're dealing with limited capital, is people who are creating professional services. So it's about those people who are maybe in their 9-to-5 job and they're thinking about transitioning into entrepreneurship. What's the next best step for them?
Yeah.
So it's monetizing what they know and their knowledge. And so that's where I'm seeing a lot of it. And also it's online businesses because you have less overhead, less barriers to entry. So that's where I'm seeing a lot of our audience trend towards.
That's interesting. There is a big shift, I feel like, and a good friend of mine had based a business on this as well,
mm-hmm.
that we're not going to be able to be solely W-2 earners.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have
yeah.
a side hustle, passion project, and whether that you transition to that full time
mm-hmm.
sooner rather than later, or if it's when you're in retirement,
mm-hmm.
that becomes your next job or income. But with our lifespan only getting longer, we got to be creative about ways we make money.
Yeah. And I also encourage people, because I get the question, do you feel like everyone should own a business? And I used to think, yes, everyone should own a business, but I don't think that anymore. However, I do think that you should have an additional source of income if you are working a 9-to-5, if you are working a job, whether that's investing, whether that's real estate. It's all different ways, especially today, that you can make money. So I don't think just depending on one source of revenue is the best idea, best strategy.
I think Dolly Parton would agree with that.
Dolly Parton would agree. Really?
Yes. I mean, I was just in Nashville for the weekend. You said 9-to-5. So, of course, I got the earworm of her song. But you look everywhere and you see how many businesses
mm-hmm.
that woman started.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hugely successful person.
Yeah. I don't think we can.
You don't stop with just one thing.
You don't stop with one thing. So, yeah, that's what I'm seeing. So I encourage it. I mean, I encourage business because I like it. I like the freedom. And I like the impact that I'm able to make as well.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Making the impact.
Most important.
Yeah. Got to feel warm and fuzzy inside mm-hmm. when you see someone say, thank you. I couldn't have done this without you. Black to Business got me going.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I only hope that other people look around and think, how can I help my community?
Right, exactly.
You could be a role model for not just entrepreneurs and business owners, but for all of us to think, how can I help my community?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
Any final thoughts? I would say if I could tell anyone, if what advice I could give is to make sure that you are running your own race, that you are having blinders on when you are running the race, like a racehorse. And just remembering the goal that you set for yourself and knowing that it's a marathon. It happens for people at different stages, at different times, and knowing that this journey is your own, but you can do it. And the one thing I will say is that even if you slow down, don't stop. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that clients understand the ways in which we conduct business, that they carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to them about the products or services we offer. For more information, visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA SIPC.